This is the 3 Bam Podcast.
You can do the intro if you want.
This is the 3 Bam Podcast.
You interrupted.
Oh, do it again. Sorry.
This is 3 beers and a mic.
Estamos haciendo el 3 Bam Podcast.
This is 3 Bam Podcast.
This is 3 Bam Podcast.
This is a 3 Bam Podcast.
This is the 3 Bam Podcast.
This is a 3 Bam Podcast.
This is 3 beers and a mic.
Welcome back, everybody, to the 100th episode of the 3 Beers and a Mic podcast. I can't freaking believe we've recorded 100 of these. Started, man, back in like 2014, and we're here. We did it. As always, we thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all the support throughout the years, and this is going to be a really special episode. We are going to basically have a handful of guests that we've had throughout the 6 years we've been recording do little segments about pop culture, some current news, some things we like, and just go down a nostalgia trip, which we'll be introducing our first guest very soon. But as always, I want to say, Adam, what's up, dude?
What's up?
Dwayne, say hello.
Hello.
And, of course, we got Bernie because we're still in quarantine. So, Bernie,
well, where are you at, man? His background. We don't have him.
I'm here. Hello. Congratulations on 100 episodes, guys. That's awesome. Wow.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And for our first guest, we actually got Sully, man. Say what's going on, dude.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Sully is one of my, when I think of Sully, I think of like pop culture. Like you're the know-it-all guy. Dude, just the background is just amazing.
Are you insulting me right off the bat?
No, that's like, you're the
know-it-all.
Pop culture know-it-all. Yeah. You're the knowledge like database. So, whenever I think of pop culture, you're like one of the first people that pops into my mind just because I think your knowledge is so vast.
I appreciate that. Every once in a while, I'm able to actually access that information that's in the brain, but most days I struggle. I've been a fan of pop culture since I can remember. My dad was a gamer and a big movie watcher, and so that was right from the get-go. I was invested in all the 80s movies and video games, and it never slowed. I've been going at it ever since.
And I wanted to start off with that because your knowledge has expanded because your interest is infinite. Like we all love pop culture, superheroes, movies, video games. This is something that we all have in common, which is how we all met in the first place. And we've told different variations of this story of how we met and how we all became friends and how we know each other. And in the very beginning of our show, we kind of described how this podcast came to be in the first place. We would basically meet up once a week, me, Dwayne, and Adam, and we would just discuss pop culture stuff, movies we watched, music we were listening to, video games we played, beer, we'd definitely be going to drink.
We're talking over beers.
Yeah. Talking over beers, yeah.
I noticed beers comes in the name before Mike in the podcast, yes. So there is a priority level there for sure.
Yeah, and we would we said one day, because this is right around when the craft beer craze was kind of going full tilt, and when we would go to our local bars, we wouldn't order like Coors Lights anymore. We would get like pecan porters and all these type of different Guinness brews and stuff, and we kind of started expanding our beer knowledge. And so we said, what if we recorded this and like drank beer, talked about beer and pop culture, and we just kind of threw ideas out there, and we just decided to give it a shot. So our name comes from 3 beers, because me, Dwayne, and Adam each had a beer, and we had one mic at the time that we had in the middle of a table in my figure room that we all would share. And of course that's expanded to the setups we have now, but 3 beers and a mic was actually 3 beers, 3 guys drinking in front of you know, one microphone.
I like that y'all didn't invest too much time into different podcast names. That, I mean, it was just so obvious. It was right yeah. there. You're like, hey, actually, let's go with that.
We did have one other name. It was going to be Radcast, Rami, Adam, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awful. Oh my God. That's so fucking terrible.
It was already taken.
Radcast?
Randomly. What the what? That was taken?
Yeah, it was. And so I guess that's fortunate because when you say it out loud, it sounds really terrible. And Bernie obviously doesn't like that.
Terrible.
Can confirm.
It's real fucking terrible. Oh my God.
So one of the things we always do when we start off these shows is, what are we drinking? So, Adam, what are you drinking?
Well, today I'm drinking something different. I've been eyeing it for a while, so.
Man, this must be the 100th episode.
Yeah, this is special. Okay. I'm actually very curious. What do you got, man?
It's the Bud Light Chelada.
Oh, the one that's kind of like a Michelada, but it's yes. like pre-canned.
It tastes good. It just needs a little bit of lemon, but it tastes really good. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised you bought that.
I'm surprised I like it.
That's awesome. Dude, congratulations for expanding your horizons. I mean, yeah, that can has like a big tomato on the front. So I'm glad that looked appealing to you, because I've had those and they're actually not bad.
I love micheladas.
Awesome. Dwayne, what do you got?
I am drinking one of my birthday beers. Apparently, Rami, there's a brewery like 10 minutes away called The Fortress.
Oh, I had
this
no idea.
Is a, I think it's a porter aged in Yellow Rose whiskey barrels.
Okay.
It looks like a wine bottle. That's fancy.
Wow.
Look at that label.
So did you get that at the store, or did you actually go to the brewery and pick that up?
No, Craig, another former guest, he picked it up for me.
Oh, nice.
He's been telling me about this place, and it's like 10 minutes off the road. Damn, I need to go there.
Yeah, I need to check it out.
Like, literally, the rest of their beers don't even have, like, it's just a label where they write the name on it.
I got you. Okay.
So it
just says beer.
Yeah. All right, Bernie, what are you drinking?
So, for those who don't know, I post a bunch of the stuff for the social media accounts for Three Beers and a Mic. Just the good ones. Dwayne does stuff. You could probably tell the difference between the two of us.
Please.
Mine are the good ones. His are the, like, real stupid, like, boring ones. But I already posted today what I'm drinking. I am drinking I don't even know how to pronounce this. Hitachino Nest.
Gesundheit.
From a... Yeah. Brewery in Japan, Kyuchi Brewery in Japan. I found it at Whole Foods. It's a saison.
I've seen those.
Either it's that, like, or saison de Japan means product of Japan. So I don't know what kind of beer it is, but
isn't it smaller ounce wise?
I think no. The bottle's smaller and fatter.
Okay,
it's the same. It's the same 12 ounce. So I'm drinking that, and then I'm drinking a Great Lakes Oktoberfest.
Woohoo!
Oh, nice. Well.
Best time of the year.
That's great.
Man, Whole Foods does those, like, pick your own six packs or whatever. And I just had my wife, it was like, whatever Oktoberfest beers you see, just grab them and just start putting them in the holder for me.
Sure. Absolutely. Sully, what are you drinking?
Well, I wish I was drinking an El Sully from 21st Amendment Brewery in California. It's one of my favorite beers because, of course, my name's in it. But yeah. I just tried it on a whim one day, and it turns out it's a wonderful light summer beer. But I can never find it up here. It only shows up like every once in a blue moon. No offense to Blue Moon. But couldn't find any, so just a Modelo Especial, because it is a toasty day up here in Washington. Nothing like in Houston. It got to 88 degrees here today. But when you don't have air conditioning in your house, when you only have central heat, on days like today, you got to cool off with something refreshing. So a Modelo is the second best.
That's a great option. I love that beer. I am also drinking an Oktoberfest. I got the Polliner 2020 edition. and they released their new Oktoberfest brew that they actually give at the Oktoberfest festival in their huge tents. And you can go buy a
which I pack. Covered last year for Three Beers in the Mic.
You did, yes. And
if you guys want to go back through our stuff, and you can see all the pictures and stuff from Oktoberfest in Germany last year.
Yeah, and it's you actually you went to the Polliner tent, right, Bernie?
Oh yeah, there's okay. Yeah, there's three Polliner tents. There's two big ones and then like a little side one.
Yeah,
I wonder is Oktoberfest happening this year?
I don't think so.
Only remotely, only virtually. Yeah,
exactly.
You're doing it right now. You're doing God's work right now.
How do they get the beer out of the cellar then?
Long straws.
All right, so this particular section of the podcast is going to be about, we wanted to focus on how we all met, the special things that we did was Dwayne and Sully were actually at a comic panel together, so we wanted to kind of go down memory road in that way, and maybe throw in something that we miss about not being able to go to cons right now, and yeah, I know. She's shaking that her head. It's the worst. Yeah. Because we all probably miss certain portions of that. I know that we all can say, yeah, I'd love to go to a convention, but what specifically about the convention was your favorite that you miss going to? So, Dwayne and Sully, how did you guys meet? And let's talk about that panel.
And give us all the spicy deets.
Well, it was at one of those parties where you put your keys in a jar up at the front. And I saw Dwayne. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Different Dwayne. Wasn't it at podcast panels at Comic Palooza? Wasn't that where we originally?
No, well, no, actually, it was the t-shirt shop that our buddy, my buddy Nick, you were getting some t-shirts made.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
he's
right.
Like, your podcast sounds like these other guys I know. You guys right. should hook up.
Yeah, I always wanted to do merch for the Nerd Zoo podcast, and I rarely did because it was, you know, it's a big investment, especially when you're getting a ton of shirts and stuff made. And I went into that, what was it, something frog?
Big Frog
over in near Cypress, Texas, when I was living out there. And and he told me about Three Beers and a Mic. That's right.
Yeah. And so I think we were both like, yeah, and I think maybe we messaged on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it just happened that he was going to Comic-Con, and I was like, well, let's meet up there.
Yeah, thankfully, Comic-Palooza in Houston, while that as a on the list of conventions is honestly, I mean, no offense to the con, but it's lower on the totem pole as far as the talent and companies they bring in. What they do better than most anybody else in the country is their support of podcasting. Thanks to people like Aaron Garcia and I can name quite a few that we've podcasted with over the years who have supported that. And I've tried to make it back every year. Of course, not this year because I would have been standing in an empty convention center, but I try to go back every year. And that's been our opportunity to hang out when I come to Houston and do some things together. And then we talked about it for a while and said, hey, why don't we do our own panel now that we've recorded so many episodes? So we teamed together with our buddy Wade and got together and started our first podcast panel was called Ready, Set, Podcast as a way to introduce other people into podcasting and give them information on, choosing a name and graphics and what mics to use, editing software, how to promote it, all that good stuff. And I think it came out really good. We could have done that podcast panel for 3 hours, we're limited by time. And that room was full. We filled that room.
Dude, the best compliment I had was one of my friends. He was like, dude, people were taking notes when you guys were talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had recorded with Nerd Foo at least 220 episodes. I can't remember where we landed, where we ended, but it was somewhere in that ballpark. And then for the Funko Funcast, I had recorded at least 50 by then. And hadn't started my latest one, Movie Retakes. But I mean, between all the podcasts I've done, I've recorded over 420 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was the guy, when we started Nerd Foo Podcast, it was Steve, my partner in crime. He's the one that wanted to podcast. And I was like, nah, that's not for me. I'm not really into it. And now I'm the one continuing on, still doing it.
I know, we both just kind of had this passion for it.
I mean, I can talk. That's something I've always been able to do. I was told to shut up a lot as a kid and to get in the corner and be quiet. But I've always been able to talk. And then, like you said, Rami, I've been a big fan of pop culture. So once Steve got me into podcasting and I realized that I had a bit of a knack for it and I did enjoy recording and talking with other people and sharing stories and whatnot, it just steamrolled. It just spiraled. It just kept going. I haven't stopped since and I don't plan on it.
Yeah, it's not funny to me. It's actually very encouraging to me that I get to raise my kid in an environment where this stuff we're talking about right now is cool, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Iron Man is cool. Wolverine is cool. Captain America is cool. Talking up streaming and talking about nerdy stuff is a multi-billion-dollar thing right now. Playing video games and having people watch you play those games instead of them playing them themselves.
Sully knows nothing about that.
It's no, something that people actually do.
Tell me more.
Yeah. So as we all said, Sully, you know, has a pretty big Twitch following. He is an owner?
A Twitch affiliate. I've applied to be a partner, which is their highest level, but still waiting to hear back on that one.
Yeah, so his streams are very entertaining. I've watched a few, and we've actually been a part of some. And it's very interactive with his fan base. He makes it a very friendly environment, and it's really awesome because
he doesn't allow my audio in though.
No,
and I don't blame him.
Try to keep it family friendly, and as soon as I unleash you on the world, there goes that rating.
And it's I can see why it's such a big movement where, you know, if someone wants to see the story of a game but doesn't want to play it themselves, they can just log in and watch somebody play it and kind of chat with other fans of the game. And maybe they're not as good at Call of Duty and they like to see someone else who's better, and they learn tips and tricks and find this fan base of people who are also looking to get better at the game. And it's just, I don't exactly remember when Twitch became a thing, or when it's really started gaining momentum. It just kind of appeared.
It's pretty funny. It has been around for at least 6 or 7 years now.
I had no idea it was in
different forms. It was supposed to be just live stream video, and eventually they found that the gaming thing had a niche, and they really leaned into it. I remember hearing about it about 4 or 5 years ago. Ironically, it was when Steve and I were trying to find a place to record our podcast, and another buddy of ours, Bob, offered up his studio. He has a woodworking studio. He's like, come here, and you guys can record here and just hang out. And we did, and he was telling me about his daughter watching people play video games. And I'm like, wow. I don't understand. Why didn't she just play? And he goes, I don't understand it either. And it was a couple years later before I got onto Twitch, and I finally saw what someone who is a good Twitch streamer can do with the audience. It is not just about the video games. That is definitely a part of it, but it is more about the interaction between you and the viewer.
Yeah.
And one of the skills that I guess I had, because I was a cheerleader in high school and into college, and I've always been the kind of person who can jump into a group of people and I'll find some commonality. I'll find a way to have a large discussion about something. My wife always jokes, I can take you anywhere, you're going to make friends. Because I do. I like just talking to people. And so I hone that skill by podcasting and going to the cons. And then especially while working at Funko, doing working at the booths and then doing the podcast there and just interacting with, I call them fans. I'm talking about fans of the brand of Funko, not of me. And I really honed that skill. And so when I went to start streaming a couple years ago for the first time as kind of an experiment, I only got to do a few streams before life just got out of control. And everybody's like, when are you getting back to it? You got to get back to it. We enjoyed those streams. Oh, and I'm like, wow. You really did?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, cool. Yeah. So as soon as Funko put us on temporary furlough, I was like, let's go. And I haven't stopped since. I've been streaming 5-6 days a week since March.
That's awesome.
But for the audience members that are listening that have not watched Sully stream, he's probably the most positive guy you'll ever meet. So.
Oh, yeah.
I think that helps a little bit too.
I lean into that for sure, but that's my nature and always has been.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, well, yeah,
has sure. been since like high school. I think before that I was your angsty teen like anybody else, but I quickly realized there's not many people like that in the world and people seem to gravitate towards it. And let's be honest, we live in what is just a crazy ass time right now. and most people are head down or depressed or upset, or they're going through things they never thought they'd go through that causes all that.
Dude, I cried walking up the stairs to record with you guys.
Right? I've had plenty of sessions like that in the last 5 minutes. You guys just didn't see it. I turned away from the camera. But yeah, I try to provide a family-friendly place. I know I have several viewers who come in regularly, and they let their kids watch too, and their kids get excited. So
that's
I try
awesome.
To keep it, you know, I try not to curse. I actually will scream and say the words, bad words, in place of cursing, which people find hysterical because, you know, like cap language. but
awesome.
it's fun, and I try to keep it positive because everybody needs that right now. And even when I'm having my down days, I flip the switch when I go live, and in the first 5 minutes, it becomes reality. I get happy about seeing people in there and seeing the names of the regulars and engaging with them and asking about their day and what did they eat and what's the latest movie they watched and what TV series are they streaming right now, and trying a new game like Fall Guys has been my addiction lately. That game
that
is
game's
insane.
Awesome.
So
super
much
fun. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
equally
super
stressful.
Fun.
I think I had a coronary the other day. The left side of my body's not working so good. the game's incredible. I love it. And that's just one of the things that you get to do when you're in that position. And I'm hoping to continue that as a full-time thing going forward because, I mean, to get paid to play video games, yeah, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Actually, I was watching, what's that documentary, Rami, the series?
Is it High Score you're talking about?
High Score on Netflix? Oh, it's fantastic.
I was watching that, and Chloe was watching it with me. She's like, they got paid to play video games? With the Nintendo hub there.
That documentary is really good. I didn't know about the origin of Kirby, which is amazing to me.
That's
really enjoyed
cool.
that series.
Yeah, they named it after the lawyer. That's really cool.
Yeah,
really
they
cool.
did.
Who saved their bacon, and otherwise there wouldn't be a Nintendo today if it weren't for Kirby.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
It's a great series. If you guys haven't watched it, highly recommended, especially if you're into video games and you want to kind of know some history that you may not have known, because I thought I was a Nintendo aficionado. I'm not an expert, but I know some of the behind the scenes stuff. I had no idea that's why they named Kirby that. And that was
I really hope we get
really
more of that series. Yeah. I felt like they got into a lot, but they definitely did not do a lot of current day stuff. Like the,
correct.
I think they got as current as like Mortal Kombat and a couple of other things, and then it kind of tailed off. And I feel like there's so much material to look at now where they could like
there'll definitely be season two,
a certain game or you know
there'll be 64 and they'll do like the Nintendo 64 and all that stuff.
Yeah,
next.
Sure, that'd be great. Yeah, I love that. I love the Toys That Made Us and the Movies That Made Us series are some of my favorite things.
Movies That Made Us is awesome.
Both are fantastic. How many
they
of you
filmed
guys...
Home Alone in a high school pool that was drained.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
That's like the coolest thing ever.
It's so smart.
I had no idea. I don't know if anyone knew that. Yeah. It was,
other than the people that worked on it.
Yeah,
it was this movie that almost got canceled a million times, and it ended up being the number one grossing comedy of all time until like The Hangover came out.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Filmed
in a freaking pool.
For our last part of this segment, I wanted us each to talk about what's the one thing that we miss from going to actual physical conventions. We kind of talked about comic conventions earlier, but I didn't want to just ignore what's happening in the world right now. There are a lot of us that can't come together. We can't see each other physically. So streaming platforms like this and using Zoom and these type of things really help. And plus I've been able to play more games with you guys than I have before because I can't see you. So it's nice to actually jump on Mario Kart and play some Rocket League and stuff like that. And if I had to ask, Adam, we'll start with you. What's the thing you miss most about not actually physically going to a convention?
Interacting with the actors, getting pictures, autographs. That's the most, you know, for me, anyway. I love that.
That is the thing that you like the most. You have your little, you have your portfolio with your pictures. You have your schedule of who you want to meet. And I know that was your favorite part, so I figured that was going to be your answer.
I think I've seen more photos of Adam with celebrities than I've actually seen Adam over the years.
Like, he's got a ton. He's got a ton. But yeah, it's his thing, man. Ever since I met him, that was the first thing he'd do when he got there. He'd get his photo ops. He'd get his signatures ready. He'd have his little tickets and CGC. Yeah, it was great stuff. Dwayne, what about you?
I miss just going and hanging out. Like we were talking, like Sully comes to town and we can go hang out with all the guys and do stuff. You know, the celebrities and all that stuff is fun. Yeah, we do stuff.
The jarkies.
Hey, Sully and I were even in a Rocket League tournament, so you know
we were,
and yeah, we did pretty good that. Too.
You did do good. Yeah,
after standing around for 8 hours.
Yeah, wasn't very well organized, but no. We were there. No, I miss, you know, meeting all the, seeing all the people, because some of those people you only see them when you go to cons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, so it's pretty cool to hang out and. Instead of talking on Facebook or whatever, you know?
No, that's fair. What about you, Sully? What's the thing you miss the most?
I mean, very similar to Dwayne. I think I've had such a unique perspective on cons over the years. I mean, I went to my first one, which was San Diego Comic-Con in 2012, thanks to Steve.
You believe that's his first?
Wow.
That was my first one to San Diego.
You're screwed from that point on.
Yeah,
wow, I mean, that was my first con, too.
Isn't that crazy? But I went as a fan for 2 years. Then I went as press or media with NerdFoo for 3 years. And then I've been going and working the booths for Funko for the last few years. So I basically got three different lives across all those cons. And then, of course, with Funko, I was going to like 80 a year big conventions across the country. Wow. I've been to San Diego, New York, Emerald City, Star Wars Celebration, D23, WonderCon, like you name all the big cons, and I've been fortunate enough to go to them. And that's not a brag, because that was a lot of hard work.
Oh, for sure.
But it gave me the opportunity to interact with people from so many different walks of life that I had things in common with. Yeah. And it started from the first time we stood in lines at San Diego Comic-Con. I realized these are my people. Like,
didn't you even go to Canada for a con?
Yeah, went to Toronto Fan Expo. Yeah, been up there. Wow. And it's in every one of them, even though some of those were grueling. The San Diego, or Star Wars Celebration last year was 5 freaking days long. Jeez. We still couldn't figure out why. That's just, it's overkill. Like anything over 3 is too much, other than San Diego. And that's still a ton of fun. Whether I was working the booth and talking to people and answering questions that had been asked a million times, or bumping into somebody outside that, like Dwayne said, I've only met him one time off of Twitter. To meet somebody for the first time, all that is so much fun. And all of COVID is really killing me, because I went from going 900 miles an hour, 2 trips a month to somewhere, interacting with people nonstop, lives, podcasts, all that, to just screeching halt, put the brakes on, and being here and seeing my wife, and that's it for months on end. Like, yeah. It's really had an effect on me, for sure. Thank God for Twitch and for the podcast I started with my brother, or I probably would have completely lost it by now.
But you also like seeing just the wife too, right?
Yeah, on occasion, you're on the record. Very nice, yeah.
You're on the record right now. So.
Yes. Not that she would ever listen, but just in case. Yeah.
Has she ever listened to one of your podcasts?
I think we forced her to listen to one on a car trip going to a con once. Yeah. And I think at the end she's like, okay, really, that's it? And we're like, okay, yeah, you don't have to listen anymore. Fine.
Oh my gosh. Bernie, what about you?
So I will preface mine with depends on the con, because I've lived in Houston, Bakersfield, San Francisco area, St. Louis, and now Columbus. So I've been to a lot of cons. Majority of them are dog shit. Like the Columbus Comic Con, I think it's Wizard Con. It's so bad. I can't even begin to describe how bad it is. The guests are bad. Lou Ferrigno was there, but no one was like going up to him and get autographs and stuff. So he was like depressed and like mean. Like he's just standing there by himself and he's like pissed.
Roids will do it's that. Just,
yep. It's true.
It's the worst. So when I go to cons like that, like St. Louis was in a hotel, like a ballroom. It was that small. Yeah.
It's like the early days of cons.
Yeah, that's so, super early.
All comics.
So when I go to cons like that,
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's where we met.
Yeah.
we would go to like smaller cons or action figure meetups or comic book places where most of them are in like hotel ballrooms.
So when I go to cons like that, I'm just there to look at the old comics and see what prices they have for key issues and looking for my Werewolf by Night 32 first appearance of Moon Knight at a reasonable price. They never are because they always overprice comics at that stuff.
You'll never find it.
So that's what I do. I just go to look at comics and stuff and just, just kind of walk around and kill. I'm usually there like an hour and a half before I'm like, all right, I have to leave because this is awful. But when I went to my first con was San Diego Comic-Con. And all I did that entire weekend was go to panels. I loved going to the panels. I went to Marvel Television panel. I went to like Family Guy panel. I went to WWE panel. I went to so many. That's like all I did was fill my day with like panels. That's not Hall H because I don't want to wait in line for freaking 10 hours to go see something. So I would just go to all these panels and that was like the best. I love going to the panels and listening to people talk. And even like, so you would usually have to go to a panel like two panels before the one you wanted to see just so you could get a seat.
It's true.
And actually, some of the ones that I did that for, I enjoyed more than the one I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
There was one where I don't even know what it was. I was waiting for the Marvel Television panel, so I went two before. It had Norman Reedus. It had Macy Williams, Arya Stark. It had, what's her name? Ming from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It had some lady from The 100. Like, it was like this like star-studded panel. Huh. I was like, what is this panel that I just stumbled in? I was like, this is awesome. So, I mean, big cons like that, I just love going to the panels and stuff. That's all like all I would do. But I also, I never went with friends or anything. It was me. I went by myself to Columbus and St. Louis. I went most days to San Diego Comic-Con by myself. My wife came for like two of the days. So it's just me walking around, So I'm not, I have nothing else to do other than go see panels. Cause it's a long day to walk around by yourself in San Diego Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that happened to Dwayne and I when we went to Comic Con in 2008. We would have to go and watch some of these panels before the one we wanted to see because, that's the only way that you can do it.
Oh, you have to. You have no choice. You have to go at least minimum two panels before the one you want to see.
Well, we went. The year we went was the year before, like, their first big anniversary year. And so it wasn't super – I mean, it was crazy, but it wasn't super crazy. But
well,
I've heard it's gotten, like, even crazier.
So the year we went to Hall H, they had Terminator Salvation. They had Heroes Season 3, Pineapple Express, the movie Up from Disney or Pixar. Just to kind of give you an idea of what was – coming or about to come out around that time.
What they had the year I went?
What?
The Force Awakens.
Yeah. Congrats. So I think that the coolest thing that happened to us during that particular panel day was Disney had their Up panel and it was fine. And then just out of nowhere, this guy comes up on the stage and he goes, "Hey, we're trying to pitch this movie to see if we can, convince Disney to do this film. We want to kind of get the crowd reaction. We're going to show you just a quick sort of trailer we put together and let us know what you think. And if the reaction's good, maybe, we'll get the money." And it so happens to be this movie, poster I have behind me, where immediately they show the light cycles. And Dwayne goes, "Holy shit, they're making a sequel to Tron." And you just see this light cycle sequence. Everything was computer generated. And then at the end, you see an old Jeff Bridges in like a kneeling position, like holding like a katana, and he just opens his eyes. And the crowd went insane. Everyone was on their feet hollering. And the guy's like, "Well, I guess you guys are interested in this." Yeah. They're screaming their heads off. It was so cool. And then, two or three years later, they actually made it.
It's the kind of magic that only San Diego Comic-Con can deliver. And I've got so many of those stories myself. It's just magical.
Yeah, it was awesome. And that's the type of thing that I miss. I love buying stuff. I love going through the bins of old 80s action figures and finding the A-Team van or, you know, an armor I'm missing for my Spike Ore figure or a Zodak gun or whatever. Everyone knows I'm a big He-Man fan. I love going through all of those bins and finding this dollar here, $2 here, you know, a little treasure. But the surprises and the unexpected things that happen to me at cons are what I miss the most, because every con that I've gone to, something has happened that I did not expect that I still remember as if it happened yesterday. And yeah, you miss that from not being able to physically be at these events and experience those memories, firsthand. So
stupid COVID.
Hopefully next year we'll be back to normal.
I hope so. God.
Yeah, let's go. All right. So Sully, we want to say thank you so much for joining us. We wanted you to be our very first guest we brought back on our 100th episode. You are really, really nice to do this, and I'm super jealous of your setup. I'm going to say it again. You put me to shame. I need to step up my game and get those lights and the animations in the back. I need a banner with like my face on it.
I need a sticker. I need a sticker.
Oh, I might be able to help with that. You send me $4. I'll give you my PayPal address.
All right.
No, hey, so, I honestly, to you guys, congratulations on making it to 100. I know we talked about it at our panel, and I've talked about it so many times, but tons of people sit around and have these ideas of doing things, never push forward, and those who actually do push record rarely make it past 2, 5, maybe 10 episodes. To make it 100 is, you should be proud of yourselves, and I hope you guys do 100 more, and I can come back on for the 200th.
For sure. Thank you so much, my friend. Yeah. All right, awesome. Sully.
All right, peace out, y'all. Thanks,
hey,
night.
Hey, before you go, let the people know where they can find you.
Oh yeah,
that's a good idea. Yeah, if you guys are interested in checking me out, currently I'm doing the Movie Retakes podcast with my brother. Not just another movie podcast. We break down movies that a sequel or a reboot is coming. We talk about it. We rewatch the original films, and we even get our own original pitches on what we think the casting, the director, and the story should be, which has been a lot of fun. And then I'm streaming 5 days a week on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/CSSULLY. And if you're just into nerdy pop culture stuff and you don't have time to invest in podcasts or streaming, follow me on Twitter. I'm at CSSULLY. And I love to interact with people. Come on, jump in the conversation. Let's have some fun. And once again, nerds unite.
Three beers and a mic. It's a podcast about nerds. All right, the next guest we have is a very special one who was on with us in our early days of our podcast. We got Dwayne's daughter, Chloe. Chloe, say what's up.
What's up?
That's awesome. Now, as every guest who is on our show for our 100th episode, we are asking them, what are they drinking? Even you. So I'm going to ask you, Chloe, what are you drinking?
Sweet tea.
That's great. Now, do you like unsweet tea or only sweet tea?
Sweet tea.
Okay, I'm an unsweet tea guy, and people look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, because you are.
Unsweet tea. It's like, that's so gross.
They just drink water.
That's I like the way that tea tastes. It's a nice flavor, and so I don't need the sugar. But you're right. I could probably just drink water. All right, so we got Chloe here to discuss a very big topic, which I know that she's excited about. And we'll just preface it with a lot of,
Hey, what's your big thing you're going to tell everybody?
Oh, is there a big announcement?
Spoiler.
We're ready.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yes. This will be spoil-filled for anyone who has not seen the new Mulan movie, which is out on Disney. What are they calling it? Disney Premiere?
Yeah, I think. Primary Access.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, we'll preface this with anyone who wanted to see Mulan in the theaters has an option to actually pay $30 and you can watch it at home. And so if you've got, if you've got a family, get them all together, pay $30. It's cheaper than actually going to the movies.
It would cost me $100 for us, at least $100 for all of us to go to the movies. So
plus
snacks and the whole nine yards. So, I mean, as far as that goes, it's a good deal. But I know when it was first announced, a lot of people said $30. Holy smokes, that's so much. But if you've got your family at home, you know, it's $5-6 a person. It's not that bad. So
well, you own the movie too,
and then you own it. Yeah, this is not a.
As long as you have Disney, you own.
Yeah.
Correct.
As long as you have the Disney.
Plus, it's not gonna like be free for like a couple of months.
Yeah, I think it's gonna
December.
Be
on
December 4th.
The actual platform in December. Yeah. So I think everyone here has actually watched it except myself. I wanted to see it. I didn't have time, but you guys can spoil it. It's totally fine. I've seen the animation, so I'll kind of know what's going to happen anyway.
No, you don't.
And maybe I don't. Okay. So
I said
let's,
spoiler alert.
No, absolutely. So let's get started with the guest of honor. Chloe, how many times have you actually watched it?
Twice.
Okay, so you've seen it twice. So you have probably seen it more than all of us. So tell us your thoughts. What did you think?
I liked how it's not like the same exact thing, because like Beauty and the Beast and the live action Cinderella were like just the exact same thing, just real people. And I liked how they changed it up with more characters and like how the story went, and they added some things.
So it's not like the cartoon. They did change some stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But is it still a story about a young girl who pretends that she's a boy so that she can join the army? Is that all still there?
Okay. Yes.
And then,
you know, this is based on a real legend, right?
I did not know that.
Me neither.
Yes.
So
based on a real Chinese legend.
Was the legend also that the father, who is elderly, was going to have to join the army because he didn't have a son? Okay. Because that's what it was, right? Is that the dad, who's, of course, cannot go fight. He has to go because he doesn't have a son, I'm guessing.
Right.
Yes. And
he already fought in a war in this one and hurt, okay. You know, got injured.
Okay. All right. So, I heard that Mushu is like not a dragon. It's like a bird or something.
It's a phoenix.
It's not Mushu at all.
It's nothing like Mushu.
So there's no talking animals or any sort of nothing. So they try to make it more realistic. Like
Cricket is a person. That's his nickname.
Yeah.
Cricket is a person. Okay. Now, go ahead, Chloe. Go ahead.
Like, the phoenix is just, like, Mushu because, like, at the beginning of, like, when she was a little girl, the phoenix was kind of the father told him, like, that the phoenix will always, like, guide her through everything. And, like, during when she was, like, at the beginning, but, like, at, like, the beginning of the movie, we saw the phoenix.
Okay. So the phoenix was at the beginning of the movie, and then was it kind of like a guide or some sort of a helper to Mulan, or what is that?
It's like Mushu. It takes Mushu's role in the cartoon, but without like joking and all that stuff. Mushu's role was to like
guide her
and protect her and stuff. So that's what the phoenix does in this, but it doesn't talk. It's only there to like save her when needed.
Okay. I gotcha. Well, because, I mean, I think most people would say that Eddie Murphy's portrayal of Mushu in Mulan is one of their favorite parts of the film. I remember him being really funny. But I understand if they're taking a more realistic take, you can't have, like, a talking mini dragon making jokes. So how were the fight scenes? Did you like the action?
Yeah.
Okay. And the villain?
I would put it as it was a good martial arts movie. It's kind of what I expected out of it.
Did they do like Matrix, like running up the wall stuff and Yeah. They did that all. Okay, they did that kind of thing. All right.
There was no trainer though. Like there was like a guy who was fighting too. That's like kind of like that replacement.
Okay.
The one she falls in love with was he was just another person in the army instead.
Trainer. Okay. One of the scenes that I remember from the first from the animation was even I think I watched when I was 18 or 19 years old. I forget when it came out, like 2000 or 99, somewhere around there. Probably. 2001, something like that. I know I was in college. I remember that I thought it was very, very somber. So everyone was walking in a random valley, and they're all singing this like big sort of song, and then all of a sudden, like the song like just cuts off because they find a burned village. And I remember watching that as an, you know, a young adult thinking, oh, wow, that's actually really, that's really serious for a Disney film, is that usually those musical numbers are very joyous and very happy. And I just remember it kind of getting cut off in the middle because they come to this destruction. Was that scene still in the movie?
Kind of.
Because that was actually,
I mean, there's no, the music isn't like it was in Mulan, the animation. The music's just kind of in the background. Like, even the songs that you know from the, it's just melodic music in the background.
Like in the scenes, like, what's it called? Song called? Like, Who Is That Girl I See? Mm-hmm. Like that, like, they just put it in the background when she's, like, the scene. Okay. There's nobody actually, like, singing it.
There's no one actually singing it. Okay, I got you. So do they have musical numbers like they do in Beauty and the Beast per se?
No.
No, there's not.
The movie is devoid of all singing and charm that the cartoon had. It's just a serious, 100% serious movie.
Okay, so they took a very different approach.
There's no jokes. There's no nothing.
Okay.
There's a few jokes with the amongst the guys there.
All right.
Nothing,
well,
nothing crazy.
So Dwayne, you watched it with your daughter. What did you think?
I liked it. I mean, I enjoyed it as a martial arts movie. I mean, if you go into this thinking it's Mulan, you're gonna be probably disappointed.
Okay. I mean,
do you know, this will be a big spoiler, but what's his name? Jet Li is in this movie.
Oh, yeah, really? I recognized him.
I didn't either. I had to look it up. I'm like,
until the end, when they get the credits, I said, well, Jet Li.
Wow, Jet Li was in the movie? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he looks a lot different now. I mean, I've seen pictures of him as an elder statesman, and
But of course, he's in a bunch of makeup. Like,
okay.
You can't really tell it's him.
I got you.
But wow, I mean,
that's a cool spoiler.
I mean, the actors in this movie are well-known martial arts actors. You know what I mean? There's no, they didn't cut it short when it came to that.
Okay, very cool.
Do you see Ming-Na Wen's at the end of the movie too?
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, well, apparently she wasn't allowed to say anything about it until like a few days ago.
Yeah, like a few days after the premiere.
So they kept that pretty secret. But I was like, she's got to be in here somewhere.
Yeah. Plus, you know, she's got a relationship with Disney. You know, she's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So
she was Mulan.
And I know she did the voice for the character. And then also, you know, she's in The Mandalorian. So she's got that Disney connection where if they came and said, hey, you want to reprise a small role? I can see her saying yes.
She should have been the matchmaker.
because that would have given her a bigger role.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be more funnier too.
She's uncredited in the film because her role was so insignificant.
Oh wow! Okay,
it was almost a Stan Lee cameo type thing.
It was kind of like that. Okay,
I wouldn't even call it that. She just says something and bows.
When I saw her, I didn't recognize her.
So it was just that quick. It's just a quick statement, and she bows, and then that's her
Yeah, she's like, here's Mulan, blah blah blah, bows, and then backs out of the screen, and then that's it.
Like, wow. Bye.
She probably spent 3 hours of makeup in 5 minutes filming.
Two seconds in the scene.
All right. So, Adam, what did you think? Did you like it?
I liked it. Yes, I did.
Was it worth your $30?
Yeah, I watched it twice already. So.
Oh wow! You watched it twice also.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you prefer the animation, or do you think this one surpasses it?
I don't remember the animation.
When was the last time you saw it? Was it 20 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. I've seen it probably 2 or 3 times since then. I remember it being really good. All right. So, you said it's good. It's worth the money. You're glad you watched it. You've seen it twice.
Yes, I liked it.
Dwayne liked it as a martial arts movie. A lot of action. Bernie, what'd you think?
It was good. I like the animation one better. Mulan has superpowers in this movie.
Oh, okay.
They just call it her chi. But she, like, floats a lot. She kicks spears and arrows to project them at, like, people. She does that, like, 5 times.
I was going to say they did overuse that a little bit.
She kicks spears?
Like in the air, and it, like launches a spear at people.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is like a superhero.
My favorite part of the movie, though, is so in the cartoon, she grabs like the missile launcher thing and she shoots it at the hill to cause the avalanche to like kill all the bad guys at the end of the movie.
Yes, I remember that.
In this one, they're shooting catapults at the battlefield. So the Chinese army gets in these little huddles with their shields, like a shield wall. And these big rock catapults are just launching into these shield walls and they just like explode and go everywhere. So they show Mulan on a horse go and pick up a helmet. All right.
Okay.
And then magically she's behind the catapults. Next scene, okay. She's like behind the catapults, behind a rock
with like set 30 up all helmets. These
helmets. Yeah, with like 30 helmets. Literally, no time passed. It's just literally like, oh, now she's behind these catapults with like 30 helmets set up on the rocks. Like they were sneak attacking the catapults. So the catapults turn around and shoot. And then that's how that avalanche happens. But it was the most ridiculous scene ever. She just literally just like transports behind them.
I gotcha.
Like travel to the future.
Yeah, it was absurd.
So if let me ask this, at the beginning of the movie, did they discuss that she has this inner sort of chi or spirit energy that lets her deflect spears and arrows just with her feet? Because if that's the type of thing that you have, and does her family know about it?
Yeah, but she yes.
And
she,
why wouldn't she's they not want
a lady.
Her?
She needs to act like a lady so she can be married, because that brings honor to daughters. So she has to hide her chi.
So they know that she's like a super like BA warrior and can deflect weapons with her hands and her feet. And
well, in this one, they call her a witch. They would call her a witch. And
oh, so they think that she's possessed and it's some sort of...
But the dad is narrating. Insane about her chi, but she needs to be a girl to so she can get married. But the dad is narrating. They don't, you don't see that as,
He says her at one point. He tells her that she needs to hide her chi so she can get married off.
Well, yeah, but that's when she's looking for the chicken.
Yeah, that's when she's older. I forgot the bad guy. There's this evil witch.
Oh yeah, I was about
Gong Li.
She's super powerful, but she doesn't kill the bad guy that's like bossing around and being mean to her because he told her that she'll fit in once he takes over. Just like so weird. Like she could easily just kill him and then do that and take over and then be in charge. But she like lets this guy like push her around and stuff, even though she's a witch and she turns into like bats and birds and stuff.
But I like at the end how she leads Mulan to him, and like she
the other bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was pissed off at him.
Okay. So I mean, I guess just what's left is a scale of 1 to 10. We can all just you know, one being horrible, 10 being awesome. What did you guys, think?
I would say a 9.
9 out of 10. That's a great score. All right, Dwayne.
I'd say 7.5.
7.5. All right. Adam.
I'll put it 8.
8. And Bernie.
7.
Okay. So everyone gave it a passing score.
Yeah, it's definitely passing.
I'm going to watch it. I can wait till it comes out, you know, for free. I'll definitely see it.
I thought Bernie was going to let you have that link.
No, he did. Yeah, he already sent it to me. But I don't want to.
Adam, don't tell anybody about that.
Yeah. I'm going to wait till it comes out.
I didn't say it. I just sent the link.
Yeah. I'm going to wait till it comes out on Disney Plus. Then I can get the full experience. And, you know, I already pay for the subscription, so I can wait. So, yeah, I'll definitely check it out, even though I kind of see how the story goes. I still am curious to watch it, and we'll go from there. Okay, so thank you, Chloe, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Anything to promote?
Anything to promote? What do you want to tell us about?
I don't know.
YouTube?
Yeah, you're on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah.
I watch your videos.
My YouTube channel that I haven't posted on in like 5 months since the beginning of quarantine.
Yeah.
What's it called?
What is it called?
Chloe's Amazing Show.
Correct.
No space. Wait, yeah. Yes, space.
So wait, check Chloe out.
Takes place in space.
And on Instagram.
Yes.
But no space on that one. I don't think so.
Your videos
you're the
are
worst
awesome.
Promoter ever.
Yes,
you're,
I am.
Her videos are great. She does an awesome job.
Me and Adam are worse.
And so, yeah, definitely check out Chloe's Amazing Show. She posts some really good stuff. I'm sure you guys will post something soon.
Please don't.
And thank you again for joining us. Thank you for talking to us about Mulan. And
bye.
I can't wait to see it. Bye, guys. See you, kiddo.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
My spider senses are starting to tingle. Thunder.
Next up, we got our buddy Clint. Say what's up, Clint.
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Congrats. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you very much. So as the format's been going, we've been having different guests from our previous episodes come and join us for different topics throughout the episode. And Clint actually filled in for me when I was away. So thank you so much. I listened to that episode. You did an awesome job.
Oh, well, thank you. Now I look forward to interacting with you and Adam as well.
Awesome. So we wanted to bring you on because for this section of our podcast, we wanted to discuss Nintendo's big news, which came out last week, which hopefully you guys have pre-ordered by now because I heard Amazon's already sold out. They released the 35th anniversary 3D Mario bundle. It's going to be available on a hard copy if that's your thing. You can also download it digitally. It's going to be a limited run, I think, until March is what I believe they said it'll be available. So some online retailers have already sold out. It's going to be coming out Friday, next Friday, right? Yeah, the 18th. The 18th. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. They announced this game. It comes out in 2 weeks. Mad scrambled to go get the physical version. So I wanted to ask Clint real quick, are you planning on doing this digitally or are you going to get the physical little cartridge?
I'm all about physical. Always have been. I love having something tangible in my hands. So
yeah, I thought you said you listened to the episode, Ronnie.
I did, but I wanted him to answer. I did. Me and him are the same person. So that's why I'm nodding my head like, yeah, I knew that's what you were going to say.
There you go.
Yeah. The physical version is the best. I know Bernie's going to get the physical version because even though he's a digital guy.
The Switch has no memory, though.
Switch has no memory.
You can easily upgrade it, though. It's not that hard.
You just switch out the little micro SD card in the back. Yeah. You can get up to 512 gigs on that thing. But Bernie started his Switch collection with physical copies, so he kind of has to keep that going. Otherwise, his OCD kicks in.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I get it.
I'm really glad to hear that. Dwayne, are you going to purchase this at all, or is it something you're interested in?
I will eventually.
Okay.
But Rami, you forgot to ask Clint one important question.
Oh, what was that?
What are you drinking?
What am I doing? I was
going to brag about it anyway. So actually, in honor of the special occasion, I broke open a special beer. This is what I call Honeymoon, which is a honey wheat that I brewed for my wedding reception. I have a few left from a couple years ago, and I wanted to break it open just for you guys for this celebration. So
awesome.
Wow.
Thanks.
That's super awesome, dude. Wow. You brewed that yourself for your own wedding?
I did. I did that one, and then I did one with it was a honey wheat with strawberries. That was called Kinky Honeymoon, just to give it a fun name. So,
that is really cool.
Yeah, but you know, I've been waiting for an occasion. Finally found one.
Well, that makes this all feel really special, man. Thank you so much.
It sounds delicious too.
Yeah,
it's actually really good. Cool. I'm surprised how good it is still after a couple of years. So, just for you guys.
Just real quick, how long have you been married?
That's a good question. we got married in 2013, so 7 years.
Okay.
I had to think about that.
So you made this 7 years ago, and you're storing it in room temperature? Are you putting it in your fridge? Or
This one was in the fridge because it was already cooled before. So it's been in the back of my fridge now for a while. But again, I'm actually surprised. It's a little flat. It's not fully carbonated, but I'm surprised it's not sour, but it's still really good. I'm really shocked. I'm very happy with it.
That's awesome. Man, dude, that's so great. All right. So that's very special. And we got, I know, Adam, you don't have a Switch, so I'm not going to ask you this question.
Adam. We could ask him, would he?
I'm going to buy one. I'm going to buy one in this holiday season.
Nice.
You're going to get one for Christmas?
Yeah.
Well,
great.
Hang tight a little bit. Just keep your eyes open because there's talks of them releasing an updated pro version that's going to be in 4K.
I have heard that as well.
So
when is that coming?
There's no date. It's all kind of hearsay.
It would probably be holiday if they did it.
Yeah, if they did it this year, it'd definitely be holiday. So I mean, I'm just saying, keep your ears open. Totally worth it in the meantime if you want. But you know, if you can go big, go big.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, I'm sure the battery will be better. Of course, the resolution will be better. They may fix this Joy-Con drift thing everyone keeps talking about. So there could be a lot of improvements, especially since Nintendo likes to announce something that's going to be released and it comes out in like a week.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy that they keep doing that.
Yeah, it could be available for the holiday. You never know. I mean, it's been kind of hard to find regular Switches right now. And a lot of people say it's because of the pandemic. People are at home. They want to buy this type of thing for their kids or themselves. Totally get it. Or maybe it's because they're not manufacturing as many because they're getting ready for the new console. And so the distribution has been lower and they just not trying to put as much funds into a console they know is going to be obsolete soon.
Maybe they'll announce it the Monday before Black Friday.
I can see that. Really sock it to PlayStation and Xbox that way, right?
Yeah. So let's discuss real quick what we think of the games that are on there. Just for anyone who doesn't know or is interested, we have Mario 64, we've got Mario Sunshine, and we have Super Mario Galaxy. So we have your 64 represented, your GameCube represented, and your Wii represented. So the Sunshine is from GameCube. Okay. Yeah. Mario Galaxy is from the Wii, and then Mario 64 and Nintendo 64. So what do we think of the games that are included? Would we have wished they would have added one? I'll let you go first, Clint.
So first of all, I have to say the timing of this is just hilarious. For those of you that might know, we were streaming Mario Kart a few weeks ago, and then like the very next day they started to announce they were releasing this game. So it's funny that all of us were just talking about it and it happened.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, I've only played 64. I've never played Galaxy and I've never played Sunshine.
What?
So, I know. I didn't say I was proud. but I'm excited that they're coming out on Switch so you can play them.
No, I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is what is it like to go and play those classic games now? Like Sunshine came out in like 2002, mm-hmm. and I remember playing it and beating it and loving it, but Bernie is completely correct. I am jealous you get to play that game for the first time. That is awesome. Wow, that's really cool. And especially Mario Galaxy. That game is
that's the one I miss.
Outstanding.
Okay. I miss Galaxy.
Outstanding game.
And Galaxy was GameCube?
Galaxy was
Wii.
The Wii.
Sorry, you said that and I totally blanked. Okay, got it.
That's all right. And then some people say that Galaxy 2 is better than the first one, and they're kind of disappointed that it wasn't included.
That's just for the next bundle.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be the 40th anniversary.
I mean, maybe they want to leave it for
something
else.
Or they'll sell it on
their
own for $60.
Or, right? Yeah, they'll remaster it or something. I don't know. But including these three games, I thought was a great deal. Some people are saying, well, they're just recycling the same stuff. Dude, they have not re-released Mario Sunshine ever.
Ever.
So unless you had a GameCube or you're playing a ROM on your computer, you couldn't play this game. So Bernie, what did you think of the selection? Do you wish they would have included something else?
I refreshed Best Buy's website a million times that day waiting for the pre-order to come up so I could pre-order it. I've never pre-ordered anything faster.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's awesome.
Mario 64, I mean, it has to be up there for best game of all time as far as like influential and all mm-hmm. that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's insane. And then Mario Sunshine, oh my God, do I love that game. That game is so awesome. And I always wanted to play the Mario Galaxy games. My roommate had a Wii, but we were in college and, you know, just
other things.
Yeah, you have other things going on other than sitting there playing Nintendo Wii.
Right.
But I've always wanted to try it, so I was super stoked that I'll get to play Galaxy for the first time. I'm a little bummed that Galaxy 2 also isn't on there. I don't see why they couldn't have just added it on there, but it's Nintendo, and Nintendo loves making money, so they'll come out with Galaxy 2 on their own or in another bundle or... Mm-hmm. And they'll charge $60 full price for it. They don't care because people will buy it. It's sold out on Amazon. These are three games that have been out already for 20 years, and they don't give a shit.
Nope.
It's just full price. Here you go.
It's just like all the, like what, Zelda launched with the system, right? It hasn't dropped in price at all.
No, Breath of the Wild launched with the Switch, and I'm pretty sure it's still $59.99.
It does go on sale once in a while, but it's not like, you know,
on sale for $49.99. It's not on right, sale for right. like $20.
Yeah.
Right.
But we had this topic on a previous podcast where why doesn't Nintendo lower their prices? And
because they sell.
Because they don't have to.
They don't have to, exactly.
They still sell for full retail. And it's not like, you know, the new Call of Duty releases in November and by February you can buy it for $30. It doesn't happen with them. They release these games spaced out enough where the demand is still high. And why are you going to lower something to $39, $29 when people will go, it's sold out on Amazon. You know how many ways you can play Mario 64? A billion.
Right.
I own it twice on 3DS. So I can go play it right now if I wanted to. But you're right, that it still sells. So Dwayne, you said you'll buy it eventually. Obviously that doesn't mean when it goes on sale, because it right. won't. And so you're just gonna wait until the hype is over or
yeah, just until it's not I'm ready to buy it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, single player stuff for me is like I don't play that much.
Mm-hmm.
But, I get that. But like Clint, I only played 64. So, which actually that game is the reason I bought a 64. Like I was at, you know, Best Buy or whatever, and they had the little console out there to try, and I was like, oh my God, this is like life changing.
Yeah.
Like, look at the water move. The water's got waves. Like,
right.
And I was like, I have to have this. And I think even that, I think it only launched with that in like the flying game, that pilot game or whatever.
They
like
had pilot wings.
They had what was that Star Wars game?
I don't think that was at launch though.
It wasn't at launch. I thought it was Shadows of the Empire.
They only had like two or three games when it launched.
Either so, way,
yeah. Still. The 64 launched with Mario 64 and Pilot Wings, and then like 2 or 3 weeks later, you could get Shadows of the Empire.
Okay.
I remember getting the console around Thanksgiving, and then I could find that Star Wars game around Christmas. That game is awesome. I love it.
But even then, it was like it was another like 6 months before another game came out.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, dude, people dived into Mario 64. There was so many stars to find and secrets and coins and dude, it was. And then you collected all 120 stars and then it unlocked a whole bunch of other crap. So, and when you were a kid, that's all you had time for, is that your parents would buy you one game because they were really expensive and that's what you had to play. Versus when you're an adult and you buy so many that you have a backlog and you don't know when the hell you're going to finally beat Kingdom Hearts 3, which I still haven't done.
Well, you don't beat most of the games you have, right?
Nice. All
right. I'm surprised, Rama, you don't have canvas paintings of some of those paintings in Mario 64. Like the bomb bombs going across the field, the three bomb bombs, or like the snowy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the
I ones do. That
you jump into. You have those?
I like don't. Canvas? I know the paintings you're referring to, but I don't own them physically. Is that something they sell?
Oh yeah, you can get those online.
Okay.
You can get like a canvas, like it looks like the actual painting on your wall that you could jump through.
That'd be cool.
Oh wow. Okay.
I had
no idea. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So it looks like we're all, you know, pretty stoked about this release. We're all really excited. It comes out next week. I can't wait to play it. I'm probably gonna play Mario Sunshine first. It's because that's the one that's been so long since I played it. I think that one is the one I'll dive into right away. Hmm. And then we'll go from there. All right. Awesome.
The big question, Adam, are you going to get this game when you get the Switch?
Of course. I'm going to wait like you until, you know, I get it. And then when it's out there, more available, yeah, I'll get it.
Well, just don't forget, March is when it ends. So if you are planning on getting a Switch, you might want to get it before that.
They're Disney vaulting it.
Yeah, that's a great
analogy. Yeah,
that's a great description.
So I should buy it, even though I don't have the Switch?
You should. I mean, just before March. So if you're going to wait on a Switch, at least grab this and hang on to it. And
yeah, you got time to buy it, but
yeah.
It's already sold out on Amazon. I mean, they're obviously going to make more, and that's just for the, you know, launch. The physical copy of it too.
Right. So. Yeah. The digital's going to, but the digital doesn't stay around either. It's going around or going away in March too. So
correct.
You know, be ready for that.
You can buy digital or physical by March and then you'll be fine.
Me, I like physical.
Ah, that's why I like Adam.
Yep.
Love it.
We got four physical copies coming, and then we got Digital Dwayne on this lonesome island.
Dwayne.
I'm like Bernie though. Like I don't care. I have a couple digital games on Switch, but I buy the physical just because I don't want to take up all the memory.
Yeah, it's just an extra step. Fair. That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair. All right. Well. I want to say thank you, Clint, for joining us on this topic.
Of course.
As always, dude, it was great seeing you. I think this is the first time we've seen each other face to face.
It is.
So now I know what you look like.
We've talked a lot of shit on Mario, so we're good.
Yes, we
are.
Not
at all creepy, Rami.
Yeah, Clint, let them know where they can find you and all that.
Yeah, please.
Sure.
Please do.
So I'm all over social media at Collector Clint, so Instagram, Twitter. I'm part of the Four Dorksmen podcast, so come hang out with us. We do all kinds of stuff. We do our podcast on Sundays. We have a pre-party on Twitch, the_Dorksmen, of course. But I also stream usually Mario Kart, Splatoon, some games we can all play on Switch. Come join us. We'd love to have you on Tuesday nights. And I'm also part of the Geek Together podcast, which records Saturdays, also on Twitch. Geek Together, or just on Twitch, that's all you need to do. And that's where you can find me. Come join us, come hang out.
By the way, Rami, you need to listen to Geek Together.
I have not listened to that one, and you, this based is the on second your, time you've told me that.
Based on so your background, you'll like it.
Okay.
And now we know what you look like.
Oh, bonus right there.
I didn't think that was creepy. All right. Whatever.
Well, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure.
Bye, man.
Thank you. All right,
thanks,
dude.
Clint.
See y'all later.
See ya. Bye.